Welcome to Torah Dimecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Shira Hochheimer, and today we are studying Yechezkel Perek Gimel. In Perek Beis, we learn that Yechezkel was given a scroll that contained lamentations and woe. Perek Gimel begins with instructions of what Yechezkel should do with the scroll he had just been given. Pasuk Aleph, Echol es hamagila hazos v'lech daber el b'nei Yisrael. Eat this scroll and go speak to the house of Israel. As mentioned in the last parak, the most mefarshim take this instruction to be figurative. It means that Yechezkel should absorb the message into his being so he can communicate convincingly to his people. Until now in the Sefer, the Jewish people have been called Beis Meri, a very negative term, house of rebellion. Here, Rav Breuer points out, they are called Bnei Yisrael, the sons of Israel, the sons of Yaakov Avinu. Hashem is reminding Yechezkel that even though they're going to be discussing the gravity of the sins of Bnei Yisrael, and they are a house of rebellion, they are still the children of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They are still the Bnei Yisrael, and Hashem still loves them. Yechezkel, hearing this mission, gladly accepts the mission to absorb this message into his being. Pasuk Beis tells us that he opens his mouth to accept the words of Hashem. In the last parak, Hashem told him to be pitzei espicha, pry open your mouth. It's going to be difficult. But here, we see that he uses the word pitach, and Hashem feeds him the scroll. And Hashem tells him to absorb this message into his deepest essence. Make your belly, eat it, fill up your bowels. Surprisingly, Yechezkel doesn't recoil from what he's being asked to do. He's been given a very harsh message, and he's being told to accept the message of destruction. And yet, tihi b'fi kidvash lematok, it was in my mouth like sweet honey. As we said in the last parak, through the message of punishment, there's always hope. The fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu cares about us enough to punish us and to try to get us to correct our ways means that there's hope for tomorrow. Moreover, being a Navi of Hashem, being an instrument to bring about what Hashem wants in this world, is a privilege. And so this sweetened the experience initially of becoming aware of what he needed to do. The first nevuah is over, and Hashem now tells him to go deliver to Bnei Yisrael. In Pasuk Hei through Zion, Hashem warns Yechezkel again that Bnei Yisrael are probably not going to listen to him. He brings an explanation and he tries to clarify that it's not an issue of language. If I'm from America and I meet somebody from China, it's not just the fact that we speak a different language. I can't just put on Google Translate and use my phone and one person talks into one end and the other person the translation comes out the other end and we understand each other. There's idioms. And there's cultural references that make it very challenging to communicate from somebody from halfway across the world. Hashem lets Yechezkel know that it's not the fact that Yechezkel is living in the Golas and Bnei Yisrael are living in Eretz Yisrael that's going to make it challenging to communicate. Rather, Bnei Yisrael are going to ignore him. They understand him, they just don't want to listen to him. In fact, had he spoken to somebody from China, he would have gotten better results. Pasuk Zion, call Beis Yisrael Chizki Meitzach Ukshei Lev Hema. All of the house of Israel have a hard forehead and a stiff heart. Bnei Yisrael are both confident and stubborn, which has its positive and negative qualities. On the one hand, it allows us to withstand the pressures of Galus. On the other hand, if we're so self-assured and confident, it's very hard to recognize when we're wrong. And this is what's going on with Bnei Yisrael. They feel they're right for the wrong reasons, and so they're never going to change. Even so, Hashem tells Yechezkel, don't give up. He's going to give him the strength to speak against Bnei Yisrael. Hinei nasati es panecha chazakim l'umas pneihem. Just like they're strong, you're going to be strong. Hashem describes that in Pasuk Tes that Yechezkel will be like a shamir. According to Radakim Tzudas David, a shamir is a strong, hard rock that will be powerful enough to cut through the hard rock of Bnei Yisrael's tough opposition. The Malbim says that the Shamir is referencing a worm that existed during the construction of the Mishkan. That worm was a soft worm, and yet it was able to engrave on precious hard stones. Although Yechezkel is a soft personality, although he has a refined personality, he will be able to cut through hard people and withstand their pressure to communicate Hashem's message. In Pasuk Yud, Hashem once again encourages him to take these words to heart, as it must be absorbed into his inner being so that he can communicate it effectively. Hashem then tells Yechezkel and Pasuk Aleph who are supposed to hear this message that there's going to be destruction. It's not going to be Bnei Yisrael who are still living in Eretz Yisrael, as this is still before the Galus. It's directed at those living in Galus. It's not telling Yechezkel that he needs to go speak to those living in Eretz Yisrael. Rather, he has to go to the people who live in Galus. V'lech bo el ha-gola. Come, go, come to the gola. Das Sofrim says that the word gola is written in a singular, and the words lech bo imply a sense of love, that Yechezkel is meant to go with a sense of love and devotion for Klal Yisrael. They've already experienced some level of redemption. As we said in the last parak, Bnei Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael were a disunified nation. They were a bunch of groups that weren't connected to each other. But once they got out of Eretz Yisrael and they were in the Galus, they became a Gola. They became a unified group. And so Yechezkel needed to go try to reach them because they had not yet understood what their responsibility was for what was about to happen. Pasuk Yud Beis is the complete end of this first nevuah. And just like at the beginning where Yechezkel sees the Merkava, he once again sees the Merkava. He sees Hashem's glory traveling. At this point, it's leaving the place of the Beis HaMikdash. And the Malachim are shouting loudly a phrase that is central to our tfilos. Baruch Kavod Hashem Mimkomo. Blessed is the glory of Hashem from his place. Until now, Hashem's glory has been centralized in one place of worship. First there was the Mishkan, then the Mishkan when it was settled in different places in Eretz Yisrael and Shiloh, then it was settled in the place of the Makom HaMikdash. Now, Baruch Kavod Hashem Mimkomo. Even though Hashem's Shechina is leaving the Beis HaMikdash, it doesn't diminish Hashem's perfection, his glory. In fact, it is Baruch, it is increased from the word Bracha, as it's no longer going to be competing with the idols. The perfection of Hashem exists wherever Hashem exists. And Hashem is following the Galus, the Gola, and he's going to be with us wherever we are. We are the only ones who are diminished from the fact that Hashem is no longer in the Beis HaMikdash because we can no longer connect to him in the same way. But Hashem is still completely perfect. Pasuk Yud Dalid tells us that at this point, Hashem lifts Yechezkel up and there's a change in him. Until now, we said the Nevuah was very sweet to him. And here, Ve'ilech mar b'chamas ruchi, v'yad Hashem alai b'chazaka. I went in bitterness, and the hand of Hashem was strong against me. Rashi explains that giving such a negative nevuah was daunting, and only because Hashem was pressuring him was he able to move to complete his mission. The Mitzvah David reminds us of what Yechezkel just saw. He just saw the Shechina leaving the Beis HaMikdash, and he's devastated. He's in pain. He no longer remembers the sweetness of being a tool in Hashem's bringing about perfection in the world. All he sees is what's happening, and that causes him tremendous amount of suffering. And in Pasuk Tezvav, Yechezkel comes to a place in the Galus called Tel Aviv. Our modern city references that area in the Galus. And we hear a change in the tone for Yechezkel from that willingness to a sense of unwillingness. Ve'eshev sham shivas yamim mashmim b'socham. And I sat where they sat. He sat with the Galus, appalled, silent for 7 days. Yechezkel is suffering, unable to communicate what he saw to the people who were meant to hear it. According to the Das Sofrim, Yechezkel just doesn't have the heart to tell the people what he had seen. Pasuk tezayin v'ahi mikze shivas yamim, and it came pass at the end of 7 days. Hashem comes to Yechezkel with a strong language. He gives him musar for reneging on his duty. Hashem explains that Yechezkel needs to take a step back and look at what his role with Bnei Yisrael is, rather than dwell on how hard of a message he has to deliver. Ben Adam, Sofa Nisaticha Leves Yisrael. Son of man, I appointed you a watchman for the house of Israel. Yechezkel had been given a job. He was a Sofa, the outlook. I'd like to think of this role as that of a lighthouse keeper. When there's a lighthouse, some ships might crash on the banks because they like to take too many risks. Others will see the light and avoid the rocks. But let's say a lighthouse keeper decides that he just can't deal with the fact that there are some people who are negligent, so he just doesn't light up the light that night. A bunch of ships are going to crash, and he's going to be responsible for them, even for the ones who would have crashed had he had a light on. It's not an easy job to watch people act in self-destructive ways, but the leadership role is to warn them, even when it's uncomfortable. Pasuk Yud Ches and Yud Tes describe the Rasha who, even though they're being warned, ignore it. But Hashem says, if you don't warn them, you will be responsible. And in Pasuk Yotzeh, he says, if you warn them, then they will be responsible. Pasuk Chaf and Chaf Aleph show how a tzaddik is deferent. When he sins in private, if he's not warned, Hashem doesn't want that to continue. And Hashem can't stand the hypocrisy that comes from a tzaddik acting one way in public and then one way in private. So Hashem exacts retribution for his actions in public. But if he had gotten musar, if he got some guidance, if he got some awareness of what he was doing wrong, he may have changed his ways and Hashem would no longer have to punish him. Yechezkel needs to show the tzaddik the light so that perhaps the tzaddik can save himself and not crash. If he warns him, Yechezkel won't bear any responsibility for our tzaddik's choices. Pasuk Chavalech, Chayo Yechye ki nishar v'ata es nafshecha hitzalta. He will live because he took warning and you will have delivered your soul. Beginning on Pasuk Chaf Beis, we are about to get the second nevuah. Yechezkel had not delivered his first nevuah and now Hashem is giving him a second one. And it changes drastically from his first nevuah. Hashem tells him to go to the Bikka, a place that's more deserted, and according to the Radak, has less tuma. When he gets there, Hashem's presence is already there. Rashi explains it's like the opposite of the way people act. When a person is in a position of kavod and of power, we expect those who are under us to wait for us. Here, Hashem was waiting, like a Rebbe waiting for his Talmud, which shows the level of anava that Hashem was demonstrating for us about how do we act when we're trying to influence, that we should put out the welcome mat for those who we're trying to influence. Once again, he sees the Kavod Hashem, he falls on his face, and in Pasuk Chaf Gim, Pasuk Chaf Dalid, he gets the lowest level of Nevuah Vata Amdeni Al Raglai, so it gives him the strength in order to be able to absorb the message. And the message is quite surprising. Vayomer Elai Bo Hisagir Pasuk Beisecha. And he said, Hashem tells him, instead of speaking to Bnei Israel, I'm going to give you a nevuah and you need to go and stay shut up in your house. Hinei nasnu alecha avosim v'asrucha bahem. And I'm going to put chains on you and you're going to be tied up. And pasuk chavav ulashoncha yadbik elchikecha v'nalamta. Your tongue is going to cleave to the top of your mouth and you're going to be silent. But pasuk chav zayin, after he has been completely silent, only years later, ubadabri oscha eftachas picha. When I tell you, you can speak, then you can open up your mouth. And with this, Parak Gimel closes with Hashem telling Yechezkel that he's going to get the Nevuah, but now he can no longer say it. It's no longer the time, Bnei Israel are no longer receptive. This Parak had three distinct parts. There was the end of the Nevuah from Parak Beis, which discussed the scroll that Yechezkel was meant to eat, and that Bnei Israel would not listen to him, but he was meant to deliver it. Yechezkel then is brought to the Galus where he does not deliver his Nevuah and Hashem gives him Musar. Hashem tells him that was the wrong behavior for a leader, that a leader has to be able to give Musar even though it's not going to be received, even though it's challenging. And the final part of the Perek discusses how Yechezkel gets a Nevuah and is told he is going to be silent. As we close the Perek, there are two lessons that I'd like to remember. The first is that Baruch Hashem Mimkomo. Hashem has left the Makom HaMikdash to be in Galus with us. It's not with the Malachim who recognize his greatness and can say the phrase Baruch Hashem Mimkomo in this great, powerful, loud noises and awe-inspiring visions. Rather, Hashem comes to be with us, the imperfect human beings, because through our speech and through our actions, we are what brings glory to Hashem, even as Hashem stays in his perfection no matter where he goes. The next idea is about responsibility. In life, we have missions. We might want to sit it out. I'm not in the mood today to be the mother, the teacher, the director. I just want to be able to relax. Hashem told Yechezkel that your job is to do what you can. Sometimes we have to say difficult messages and we don't like what the outcomes are because people aren't listening to us. If we have a job, we need to do it even if it would be less popular. At the end of the parak, we see an opposite message. Other times, we really want to act. We want to do something. We want to tell the community. We want to tell our children that they're doing something wrong. We want to intervene. We want to pressure. And it's not the right time. At those times, Hashem is asking us to not talk. He's asking us to follow his lead, not our lead. If something's not going, it's as if we're in chains and we're not meant to go. Yechezkel was lucky. He got a nevuah that told him to talk, and he got a nevuah that told him to be quiet. We don't have a nevuah, but we need to pay attention to what is the message. When do we have a responsibility to talk and act? And when do we have a responsibility to wait? We need to do our best and rely on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Baruch Hashem Mimkomo, to have faith in Hashem that we can bring about his glory in this world. Thank you for studying together, Le'ilo Nishmas, Malka Esther Bas Tzvi Yosef.